Quite a number of years ago in this town, there was a minister. And whenever people called at his door one night on some other business, they began to witness to him about the Lord and asked him if he was saved. And his response was that if he had his way where the word saved was found in the Bible, he would take it out. That's tragic, coming from someone who at his ordination would have subscribed to the articles of faith of this denomination and would have said that he would preach the word and be true to the Bible. Very tragic. Tragic also because if he had his way, we would be bereft of tremendous verses and tremendous truth where that word saved is found. For instance, in Ephesians 2 verse 8 and 9, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves." Or in another place, that if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? And elsewhere, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And of course, our text that we're looking at for a few minutes now, Romans 10 and 13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." So it's a doctrinal statement, a doctrinal truth. It's a very essential part of the Word of God. It's why there is a New Testament. It's why there is a Bible. It's why the Lord Jesus Christ came, because he came into the world to seek and to save that which was lost. So for a few minutes, I want you to consider with me this matter of being saved. First thing is, what exactly does it mean to be saved? You say, "Preacher, in fundamentalist churches and evangelical churches, I hear so much about this saved business. What exactly are you talking about when you're talking about a man needing to be saved?" Well, the answer is simple, really. If you take the word saved in its normal sense, you would know right away that it means to be rescued or preserved from some great danger. Maybe a house fire. Maybe a drowning incident. Or maybe some other serious situation where there's an accident and there's somebody at hand to raise the alarm or even to give direct aid, direct help, him or herself. And through that effort, people have come or that person has been able to pull you to safety and to rescue you. In other words, it's a preserving from a great danger in which your life will be harmed or even lost. That's it in the normal sense. But whenever the Bible speaks about it in the evangelical sense, the same principle is there. To be saved means to be rescued from a terrible danger that will harm you. Now that asks the question, what is the danger? And the answer is, it's a danger that comes from a result of our sin. The Bible tells us all have sinned. There's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Sin is any want of conformity unto or transgression of the law of God. It's a violation of God's will. It's a strike at his sovereignty and his deity and his person. And here's the thing. This is where the danger lies. If we go on sinning and die in our sins, the Bible tells us there will be a penalty to pay. There will be judgment to experience. And that will be suffering and anguish in the place that the Bible calls hell, and it will be forever. And in addition to that, if you need to be saved, and we all need to be saved, and if you're to be saved, it will be a rescue from the tyranny and the grip and the enslavement of sin. Because not only does sin carry a penalty, not only does sin mean we're condemned, not only will sin incur the wrath and judgment of God, but there are habits that bind. There are propensities and tendencies in our life that are wrong and harmful to us and God-dishonoring. And no matter how much we try to shake them off ourselves, we can't do it. But when a man or a woman is saved, they're not only free from condemnation, but they're free from the grip and the tyranny and the enslavement of sin as well. But sin does something else. It defiles. It contaminates. It pollutes a person. And this salvation that Paul is talking about here in Romans 10, and what the Bible talks about, means that if you do get saved, not only will you not go to hell, not only will you be able to live a triumphant life, but your life will be cleaned up. You'll be washed clean, spotless, pure, in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us on the cross at Calvary. So, this is what this great experience is. Let me ask you, do you have it? Man, woman, young person. Can you honestly say tonight, yes, I know that I'm saved. In the words of that hymn, dear Savior, thou art mine. How sweet the thought to me. Can you really say that? If you can't, if you're not sure, there's something lacking. But you can be sure. So that's the first thing. What it means to be saved. But notice secondly, how then does one experience this? In other words, how does one become saved? Well, notice the words in the text again. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. First of all, it can't happen apart from the Lord. That's what this verse is saying. Terrible thing for that minister to say, if he had his way, he would take it out of the Bible. What did he want to put in his place? They don't like that old word, saved. Well, let me tell you, salvation, saved, converted, conversion, redemption, regeneration, they're all Bible words and they'll never be replaced. It's good enough for God's word. It's good enough for us. Now, it can't happen apart from the Lord, and it means it can't happen in religion, whether it's rites or ceremonies. It can't happen in self-righteousness or in good works, because the Bible says it's not of works, lest any man should boast. So it can't happen apart from the Lord. Well, notice what it does say, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And the Lord here is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is one of the Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. There are three persons in the Godhead, and one cannot be saved without any of them, and certainly in this instance, it's the Son of God. Why? Because He is the Savior. He's called the Savior. When He lived on earth, He lived under the law of God. He voluntarily placed Himself under the law in order to magnify it and make it honorable. And to obtain a righteousness for us that we need, because we cannot get to heaven without that righteousness. He obtained the righteousness. Then He died on the cross to deal with the penalty and the wickedness and all of that that goes with sin. And the moment a man or a woman trusts Christ as Savior, then they become righteous, and then their sins are forgiven, their soul is saved. So the sinless life of Christ, namely His obedience to the law of God and His atoning work on the cross whereby He shed His precious blood and offered Himself as a sacrifice for sins, this is how to be saved. But there's a third thing about that. Not only that it can't happen without the Lord, and it's the work of the Lord Jesus Christ in His life and especially in His death, and then we've got a call on the name of the Lord. You say, well, the name of the Lord. Now, what's that mean? Well, the name is synonymous with the person. Listen to these words. And by the way, the name of the Lord Jesus means salvation. When He was about to be born on earth with regard to His humanity, the angel said to Joseph, says Joseph, thou shalt call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins. That's why He's to be called Jesus. He's the Savior. Whenever the shepherds brought the angels brought the message to the shepherds, this is what they said. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Now, the name ties in with that. We read in Acts 10 and 43, whenever Peter was preaching, he said to the people that through this man is preached unto you, or to him give all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. Proverbs 18 and 10, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is saved. Psalm 9 and verse 10, they that know thy name shall put their trust in thee. The name and the person go together, because the very name of Jesus is salvation. And you say, well, call on him. Call on the name of the Lord. Yes. Simple to call on the name of the Lord. Let me give you a wonderful illustration of that. One night, the Lord Jesus Christ came walking on the stormy waters of the Sea of Galilee. And the disciples were in the boat. And they thought it was a ghost for a moment. And then they recognized the Lord said it was himself. And Peter said, Lord, if it's thee, bid me come to thee. Now that was very brave of Peter. And the Lord bade him come. And Peter got over the side of the boat and he began to walk on the water. That was tremendous. To be fair to Peter, great faith. But the Bible says the wind became boisterous and Peter took his eyes off the Lord Jesus Christ and he began to sink. And this is what he cried out. He called on the Lord. This is what he said. Lord, save me. And in Matthew chapter 14, you have the instance. Lord, save me. Verse 31. And immediately, the Lord reached out his hand and pulled Peter up out of the waters and brought him into the boat. My dear friend, let me say to you, it was not Peter's hand. It was the Lord's hand and all the strength of omnipotence behind it that brought Peter out of the sea of death and brought him safely into the boat. And Peter just called on the Lord. And this is what our text says in Romans 10. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Let me tell you, friend, it's the same as believing. Whenever the Philippian jailer who treated Paul and Silas in such a mean, coarse way, when the earthquake came and the jailer was going to take his own life, he said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they answered, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved and thy house. Saved by calling, saved by believing. And the Lord God Almighty said in Isaiah chapter 45 and verse 22, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. Do you see that? Looking, believing, calling, they're all the same thing. Saving faith. And the Lord Jesus himself said, or John the Baptist said, to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. So the receiving is the same as the believing, which is the same as looking, which is the same as calling, and it all means the same thing. Trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Now, that, my dear friend, is what it means to be saved and how you can be saved. But let me finish with this. You might say, if you only knew who you were speaking to, the sins that I've committed, the life that I have lived, I don't need to know, and I'm not looking to know either. But I can tell you this, that no matter what you have done, no matter what kind of life you have lived, these words say, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever. Can you get it any broader than that? Listen to John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. In Revelation 21 and 6 we read, I will give unto him that is athirst of the water of life freely. Revelation 22 and 17, whosoever will thirst, let him take the water of life freely. Whosoever will, let him come and take the water of life freely. Whosoever, him that thirsteth. The only condition is, that you feel your need of him and take him at his word. And that's entailed in repentance and faith. You don't have to be someone that's very religious or upright or moral. Those are all desirable things. But they will never save your soul. Whosoever. Now, let me give you a tremendous illustration of that. Way back about 1,500 years before the Lord Jesus Christ began his ministry on earth, the children of Israel were tempting God in their wilderness journey. They were getting very, very discouraged. And they began to murmur and loathe the so-called light bread. That was the manna. The manna, by the way, which was a type of the Lord Jesus Christ and a type of the Word of God. They're so loathed it by their own admission. And the Lord was having none of it, and he sent fiery serpents that bit them, and we're told that they were dying. Great number of them. And then the children of Israel realized their sin, and they came to Moses. They said, "Moses, we're sorry. We have sinned in speaking against God and in speaking against you. Pray to God for us." And meek Moses, meek man that he was, godly man that he was, he went to the Lord about the matter, told the Lord what the children of Israel had said. And the Lord said, "All right, Moses, make a fiery serpent, put it on a pole of brass, lift it up, and tell them all, if they'll just fix their eyes, if they'll just gaze upon that serpent that you lift up in the camp, then they will be healed. Every one of them." And oh, what a truth that was. Every one of them who would look. Everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live, the Lord Jesus said. Moses did that. Proclaimed the message. The people did that. And they were healed. Now, 1,500 years later, the Lord Jesus Christ was speaking to Nicodemus, a religious man who was not born again. And he said to Nicodemus, he said, "As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man," that's himself, "be lifted up," that is, crucified, held aloft, impaled on the cross, "that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life." The looking and the believing were one and the same thing. And it was for whosoever. The message God gave to Moses was simply, everyone that is bitten, when he looketh. The message the Lord Jesus gave to Nicodemus and to us is, whosoever. Will you be one of the whosoever tonight? There's nobody need be exempt from this. God has provided salvation. It's through the Lord Jesus. You need to be saved. It's for you. Turn from your sin. Look to him. Call upon him. Believe on him. Trust him receiving. It's all the same thing. And the word of God says here, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Have you got the experience, friend? This is the one experience you need. You dare not die without it. In fact, you shouldn't be living without it. You can't. You don't know what life is until you have this experience. Being saved in the Lord Jesus. Trusting him. Will you trust him tonight? Don't let another night go by without being saved. Let's bow together in prayer.